Reformation Day has a unique significance to us here at Issues Etc. The Sunday night nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. debuted on Reformation Sunday of 1995. The following audio is from a banquet November the 5th, 2005, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the national show. Banquet speakers included Larry Rast, Matt Harrison, Reed Lessing, Jeff Schwarz, and myself. We present this now for Reformation Day 7 years later.
Thank you all so much for coming. This is just delightful. This is just marvelous. This is probably just a little bit what like the first night in heaven is going to be like. I don't expect to see my producer Jeff there, but with that notable exception, thank you all for coming. This is marvelous. For celebrating tonight with us for 10 years. I am master of ceremonies, and that means we will be done on time. Every other day of my life, I have this fellow over here telling me how much time I have. And I've learned to live and die by the clock. But tonight, I get to be the one who makes sure everyone's on time. We begin with a prayer tonight. Dr. Reed Lessing has been kind enough to join us. He is Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology here at Concordia Seminary and a regular guest on the program, and he's going to lead us in prayer tonight. Reed?
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are privileged to still hear your words that spoke to us earlier this week, as we celebrated the 488th anniversary of the Reformation. You have cut a new covenant with us, climactically in the upper room. And with this covenant, you have put Torah, your word, in our midst, and you've written it upon our hearts. This Torah, this word, announces the forgiveness of our wickedness, and that you, O Lord, remember our sins no more. O God, this righteous standing, made known through the Torah and the prophets, comes to us through the redeeming work of Jesus. And this truth has set us free, again, this day, as your baptized sons and daughters, free from condemnation, free from sin and death, and free to boldly speak these Reformation truths to the world. We praise you, O Lord, that this Christ-centered, cross-focused truth has such a clear, winsome, and powerful voice in Issues Etc. For Todd, who speaks, Jeff, who manages, so many staff who care, guests who clarify, donors who give, churches who sponsor, O Lord, for these, your gifts of 10 years, we bless and thank you. We pray that this ministry expands and grows as it is a prophetic and apostolic voice with boldness and courage. Abide with us now, O Lord, for it is evening. The day is far spent, and we are privileged to be in this place. Come among us, O Lord. Give us thanks for daily bread, daily mercies, and rejoicing hearts with those seated with us as we give thanks for the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. In the name that is above every name, whether in heaven or on earth or under the earth, Jesus our Lord, we dine, we rejoice, we recall, and we give thanks. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Issues Etc., and thanks to all of you who have chipped in to help support the show. Listener contributions are the reason we can do this, so thanks.
Never make promises you cannot keep. So I'm well on my way to breaking the promise I made of keeping us on schedule tonight. So without any further ado, Dr. Larry Rast is one of the most delightful guys I know. And he has been a friend of Issues Etc. for a lot of years. He said before tonight began at least 40 appearances on Issues Etc. That probably makes him one of the most frequent guests that we have had. And over the years of talking with him on the air, I have learned more about American Christianity, about Finney, about American evangelicalism. And people will often ask me, how do you know so much? And it always kind of tickles me because I get all the credit for what my guests say. Every single time. I just ask questions. And if you listen to the questions that I ask, there's nothing brilliant in there. They're just simple questions. And then Larry will say something brilliant, and they'll go, oh, Wilkin, he's so marvelous, I can't believe it. Dr. Larry Rast is Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He also serves there as Assistant Academic Dean. He was, for a short period of time, a pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Madison, Tennessee, south of the Mason-Dixon line. He has his PhD from Vanderbilt University. That's no small feat. He is president of the Concordia Historical Institute, right across the way here. He's, as I said, a regular guest on Issues Etc., a dear friend of the show, and I count him as one of my dear friends as well. And he's going to address us tonight on the issue of reforming American Christianity. Welcome, Dr. Larry Rast.
It is certainly my privilege, honor, and delight to be with you all this evening as we celebrate a milestone in the history of Issues Etc. 10 years is no small achievement for any institution, and it's made all the more significant when you think about the fickle reality of talk radio, where shows come and go with great alacrity. No less significant is the manner in which Issues Etc. has bucked the trend of Christian radio. It proceeds from a set of assumptions that are distinctively and purposefully confessionally Lutheran, and as such, tends at times to run a little contrary to what you'd normally hear on Christian radio. In this respect, it then embraces my theme for this evening, namely, reforming American Christianity. It does this faithfully and unswervingly by applying law and gospel in confessing scriptural truth. Issues does this by fulfilling the words of Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. This is what Issues Etc. is all about. Confessing Christ faithfully in a world that has confused the message. And as we see this evening, they have not been put to shame. Indeed, God has richly blessed Issues and us through Issues, etc., as they have worked to reform American Christianity. And reforming American Christianity most certainly needs. In the years 1780 to 1820, what we historians like to call the early national period, American Christianity experienced a fundamental change. It went from being largely oriented toward a classical double predestinarian Calvinism, which emphasized the sovereignty of God and God's monergistic work in the salvation and reprobation of human beings, to a revivalistic Arminianism, which stressed human ability, freedom of the will, and the necessity of making a decision for Christ. By way of illustration, Methodism, the denomination that most consistently adopted the new theology and practiced it, grew from having zero congregations in 1780, that's right, zero, to having 2,700 by 1820. By 1860, it had almost 20,000 congregations. Zero to 20,000 in 80 years. By way of comparison, during this same period, Lutheranism went from 240 congregations to 2,100 congregations, nearly tenfold growth, but nowhere close to what Methodism experienced. So the question becomes, why? Why did Methodism grow more quickly than Lutheranism? In his important book, The Democratization of American Christianity, historian Nathan Hatch has argued that the key was a theological leadership that empowered the powerless, taking the convictions, hopes, and dreams of laypersons and then allowing them to enact those dreams. They especially did this within the realm of practice, developing camp meetings and revivals that emphasized personal religious experience and made the choice of the individual the key to salvation. God has done all he can, the preachers would preach. Now he waits for you. Coupling this empowering message with a consistent practice and a confrontational preaching style, American Christianity was transformed. Early in the history of the revivalists, the experiences of their converts were radical in the extreme. So extremes at times that they scared observers to death. One early Methodist revivalist, a man by the name of Peter Cartwright, captured the experience well. He said, "I have seen more than 100 sinners fall like dead men under one powerful sermon. And I have seen and heard more than 500 Christians all shouting aloud the high praises of God at once. And I will venture to assert that many happy thousands were awakened and converted to God at these camp meetings. Some sinners mocked, some of the old dry professors opposed, some of the old starched preachers preached against these exercises, but still the work went on and spread in almost every direction, gathering additional force until our country seemed all coming home to God." Then he continues, "To see those proud young gentlemen and young ladies dressed in their silks, jewelry, and prunella from top to toe take the jerks," that was one of the physical manifestations of the presence of the Holy Spirit, "to take the jerks would often excite my risibilities. The first jerk or so, you would see their fine bonnets, caps, and combs fly. And so sudden would be the jerking of the head that their long, loose hair would crack almost as loud as a wagoner's whip." Now, I don't know if these quotes excite your risibilities, but note the following theological interpretation that Cartwright offers. "I have always looked upon the jerks as a judgment sent from God, first, to bring sinners to repentance, and secondly, to show professors that God would work with or without means, and that he could work over and above means, and do whatsoever seemeth to him good." It simply remained for the likes of a Charles Finney to come along and systematize these developing techniques into a program that he believed guaranteed success. What was the content of Finney's Christianity? Very simply, he disagreed with Scripture on some fundamental points. In spite of the clear words of Psalm 51:5, he claimed that human beings did not come into this world with the burden of original sin. Rather, their will was intact, and they could choose to do spiritual good works apart from the presence and help of God's Spirit in their life. So he would write, "Let the preacher go right over against them, urge upon them their ability to obey God, show them their obligation and duty, and press them until he brings them to submit and be saved. This leads to the second and more grievous error of Finneyism. If we can turn ourselves to God by our own actions, then what need is there of a Savior? The answer for Finney, basically, is that we don't, at least not in the scriptural sense. In the all-time worst sermon ever preached, titled Justification by Faith, how can you go wrong with a title like that? Finney could. He argues that anybody who believes that they are saved by the imputation of their sin to Christ and the imputation of his righteousness to them is fooling themselves. So what was the purpose of Jesus? Well, Jesus' death demonstrates God's anger over sin, and it shows God's great love for humankind. Jesus then becomes an example for us to follow of what we should do for God if we truly love him, give ourselves totally to him. This so-called moral government theory of the atonement obviously compromises the biblical doctrine of salvation. And that brings us to the heart of Finneyism. We are not saved by grace, according to Finney. We are saved by grace plus works. Sinners ought to be made to feel that they have something to do, he writes, and that is to repent. And that is something no other being can do for them, neither God nor man, and something which they can do now and must do now. Religion is something to do, and they must do it now. Now, what did all this mean for worship practice? Well, Finney's own words clearly show us that there is no dichotomy between style and substance for him. The two are inextricably linked. The way one believes forms the way one worships, and the way one worships shapes the way one believes. To Finney's credit, he admitted as much. All ministers should be revival ministers, he said, and all preaching should be revival preaching. People say it is very well to have some men in the church who are revival preachers and who can go about and promote revivals, but then you must have others to indoctrinate the church. Strange thought. Do they not know that a revival indoctrinates the church faster than anything else? And a minister will never produce a revival if he does not indoctrinate his hearers. The preaching I have described is full of doctrine, but it is doctrine to be practiced. The form of that preaching and worship that Finney saw so bound up together, theater, drama, high emotion, those are the things of true religion. This should be the aim of the preacher, he wrote. The more theatrical the sermon is, the better. By now, the applications to the present are probably clear. The greatest American advocate of revivalism and decision theology clearly tells us there is no division to be made between substance and style, and he's right. What is troubling, however, is the setting in American Christianity today, which continues to argue that we can keep the substance of the message separate from the style of worship that appeals to us. Finney will have nothing of the sort. His style of worship is linked to a specific theology, and vice versa. To adopt one for Finney means to adopt the other. But while Finney is right on the relationship of theology and worship in terms of practice, his own theological content is dead wrong. His theology is at odds with the scriptural doctrine of justification by grace through faith. It is a theology that confuses law and gospel. It is a theology that minimizes the work of Christ to save sinners. It is a theology that puts the responsibility for salvation squarely on the shoulders of human beings. As he says, religion is the work of man. It is something for man to do. It consists in obeying God. It is man's duty. It is over against this human-centered decision theology that issues, etc., has testified and worked to reform American Christianity. in this respect, it has done a good work. And in my own modest contributions to Issues work, I actually went back and looked at some of the topics that I've spoken at over the past few years, and here are some. The Second Great Awakening, Moral Government Theology, Charles Finney on Theology and Worship, The Triumph of Schmuckerism. I have to mention Samuel Simon Schmucker at least once in my presentation. Crusade Evangelism, The Radical Reformation, The Theology and History of the Sinner's Prayer. That was a good one, Todd, by the way. I like that. Pietism and Millennialism, Puritanism Yesterday and Today, Fundamentalism, Non-Denominational Churches, The Battle for the Bible in the LCMS, Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life, On Becoming a Contagious Christian, and Joel Osteen's Your Best Life Now. Now, it was this last interview that featured one of my most interesting experiences on Issues. Todd and Jeff had set this up as a roundtable featuring Reverend Tom Baker, Reverend Will Whedon, and yours truly. For our roundtable, Jeff had asked us to send him particularly egregious quotations from Osteen's book, showing Joel's bad theology. Jeff then took those quotes from the audio version of the book and had them ready to play when we were together for our roundtable. You might say that Joel himself joined us. Oh, joy. Frankly, Your Best Life Now is a terrible book. It minimizes Christ and turns God into a big sugar daddy who will reward you with stuff, cars, good weather, parking spaces, and even a trophy wife, if you think the right way and do the right things. The book made me angry. I wrote Jeff, I looked at the email, "This is the worst book I've ever read," which is saying a lot. So when the roundtable started, I didn't know quite what to expect. Happily, they asked Pastor Baker to speak first, at which point he said, "This is the kind of book that makes you dumber the more you read it." I thought we could have ended it right there. Everything had been said. But that's what Issues offers. They're the opportunity to speak plainly, clearly, succinctly, and to be Lutheran. To be a theologian of the cross and call a thing what it is. Now, for this to happen, you have to have some remarkably gifted people. And for it to happen consistently over a period of years really testifies to the skill of two men in particular. One is Todd Wilkin. And frankly, Todd amazes me for all his words before, "Oh, the guests make us look good," and that kind of stuff. It's actually him who makes us look good. He does the work, and we then kind of follow along. It's all in the art of the question. And there's no one better than Todd at this. I'm so amazed at Todd's wisdom that over the years I've written down a number of the questions that he has posed to me. And here are several. What hair color do they put on the driver's license of bald men? If a word is misspelled in the dictionary, how would we ever know? Is there another word for synonym? Doesn't expecting the unexpected make the unexpected expected? It took me 12 minutes to answer that one. What do you do when you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? These are great questions, I'm telling you. I've kept these. If quitters never win and winners never quit, what fool came up with "quit while you're ahead"? This one, I still don't know the answer. How much deeper would the oceans be without sponges? Why do toasters have a setting that burns the toast to a horrible crisp with no, which no decent human being would eat? A philosophical one for us to consider. Do illiterate people get the full effect of alphabet soup? Why is phonics not spelled the way it sounds? And how come abbreviated is such a long word? Brilliant! Brilliant! This is Todd Wilkin. I'm simply speechless oftentimes when he poses these to me on the microphone. But you can't get this kind of thing done without a team, and Todd would be nowhere without Jeff. Jeff arranges everything, holds it together, and I think of it often when he's dealing with my fellow faculty members at Fort Wayne, finding the speakers, telling us what the subject is, trying to help us remember when the interview is. He deals with these people constantly, and there's a reason they call us absent-minded professors. There really is. We forget about interviews, use cordless phones rather than hardwired ones, and in the worst cases, forget what the interview is about in the middle of the interview. Jeff is able to do this because he is a positive person. He is always smiling. He cheers me up. When he calls the house, he talks to my wife, which means more of my time is going to be taken up, and she's happy by the time the conversation is finished. And he shares this view with others. For example, he once quoted George Armstrong Custer to me. "Beyond a doubt, all stories about large bodies of Indians being here are merest bosh," 2 weeks before the Battle of the Little Bighorn. Or his favorite, Jack Herbine of Three Mile Island Nuclear Power Plant, who called the near meltdown in 1979 a normal aberration. Normal aberration, that's what you call working with faculty members. In all seriousness, the 10th anniversary of Issues Etc. is more than a normal aberration. It is a remarkable opportunity to recognize the advocacy of these gentlemen for historic confessional Lutheranism. It has upheld in the face of American Christianity's abnormalness the unchanging gospel of Christ in a world that desperately needs to hear of salvation free and full on the basis of Christ's fulfillment of God's law, his all-sufficient payment for the penalty of sin, and his glorious resurrection and ascension. These are the things that Issues affirms with great clarity and vigor, and for that we continually thank God. "Hey, Pastor, how'd you get that cut on your face?" one of my elders asked me on a Sunday morning. I answered, "I was thinking about my sermon and wasn't concentrating on what I was doing and cut myself while shaving." My elder answered, "That's too bad. Next time, concentrate on your shaving and cut your sermon." I'll take my elder's advice and stop now, almost. But before we leave, one more word of thanks to Issues for their wonderful and faithful work over the course of a decade. No doubt at times things have appeared to be less than successful. There have been tensions and difficulties. To that end, we know, however, the promises of God remain sure and firm. And to that end, let me, in closing, allow me to quote the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as he reflected on the mission of our own Missouri Synod. He said, "Let us above all and in all matters be concerned about this, that the pure doctrine of our dear Evangelical Lutheran Church may become known more and more completely among us, that it may be in vogue in all of our congregations, and that it may be preserved from all adulteration and held fast as the most precious treasure. Let us not surrender one iota of the demands of the Word. Let us bring about its complete rule in our congregations and set aside nothing of it. Here let us be inflexible. Here let us be adamant. If we do this, we need not worry about the success of our labor. Even though it should seem to be in vain, it cannot then be in vain. For the word does not return void, but prospers in the thing whereto the Lord sent it. By the word alone, without any other power, the church was founded. By the word alone, all the great deeds recorded in church history were accomplished. By the word alone, the church will most assuredly stand also in these last days of sore distress, even to the end of days. For the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Or, to put it another way, returning to Romans 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Thank you, issues. Thank you all. God's blessings.
Folks, the gospel is free, but producing this show isn't. Please consider making a tax-deductible donation to Issues Etc. today.
Well, you heard Dr. Rass talk a little bit about this man sitting over here, Jeff Schwarz. My first experience with him was on the telephone. And if any of you have ever had a telephone conversation with Jeff Schwarz, it is an experience of a lifetime. My daughter used to call him for about the last year every afternoon at 3:30 when she got home. I would say when I dropped her off at school, call Jeff. Her job was, since I was on the air, to call Jeff and say, I'm home, the door is locked, the windows are locked, I'm safe and sound and all is well. And Jeff would type up on the screen to me so I could see it while we're on the air, Emma is home. And she told me after about a month of calling Jeff every afternoon, she said, it is so weird talking to him on the phone. First of all, he talks really, really loud. He'll say, issues, etc., Jeff Schwarz speaking. And then she'll say, probably in her timid 13-year-old voice, hi, this is Emma. And then he'll say, Emma, how are you doing? And then as quickly as it starts, it's over with. And if any of you have ever had the experience with Jeff, the phone is hanging up while he's saying goodbye. So it's, anything else? Anything else? No? And I have these conversations with him about 20 times a day. On vacation. I don't think you called me from Greece when you were there. You might have. Yes, I think he did. And my wife has become very accustomed to the fact that my day off isn't Jeff's day off. He has been the producer of Issues Etc. from the very beginning, even before it was Issues Etc., even before the time, this time that we mark tonight. And he will tell you that when it was first proposed as an idea, that Issues Etc. go from a current affairs program to a theological talk show, he was not sure that he was up to this task. He had no formal theological training. And I'm sure there were good reasons for his hesitancy at the time. But he has, and I can say this having worked cheek and jowl with him, and that's not a very comfortable position to be in. For 7 years, he is more than equal to this task. And not only as someone who can sniff out a something wrong in what someone said or written, proposed the best questions, some of the very best questions I ever asked Larry, including some of those that you put up there, came from Jeff during the interview. But simply as a radio producer, it is one of the hardest jobs in the world. It really is. And I watch him do it every day. And I'm thankful that I have him doing it and not me. And I can guarantee you, I can die tomorrow. I can walk out of here and get hit by a bus, and Issues Etc. will be celebrating 20 years, a decade from now. But if he gets hit by a bus, well, guys, you just attended the farewell banquet of Issues Etc. That's the way it works. Jeff Schwarz is my producer. He has a long history in radio and in producing nationally syndicated radio. And all I can say about him tonight is I am just very glad he works with me. Jeff, come on up.
First of all, there's a reason I'm a producer. I don't like public speaking. Otherwise, I'd be making the big money like Wilkin here. Larry doesn't know this, but we had come really close to getting Joel Osteen on Issues Etc. I was working diligently to get Joel Osteen on Issues Etc. And, I mean, I can't count how many phone calls, at least a dozen phone calls to the publicists of his book, Your Best Life Now. And things are really progressing. And I told Todd, I said, I think we'll have him. I think we'll have him within the next 2 weeks. Until his publicists heard Larry Rass and Todd review Your Best Life Now. And the producer, or the publicist said, are you kidding me? So thanks a lot, Larry. We really appreciate that. Todd's right about me speaking quickly. It's so bad that when my wife, or I don't listen to messages either. I'm like, okay, give me your phone number, give me your name, and I'll call you right back. I can't stand people that, like, give me their name and then take a minute to give me their phone number. It's so bad, my wife leaves a code word at the end of the message. When I come home that night, I have to tell her what the code word was on the message I left. Working with me is not easy. I'm type A, obsessive, compulsive, anal retentive. I could not work with me. How this guy works with me every day, I have no idea. But in all seriousness, I worked on nationally syndicated radio shows, Costas Coast to Coast, John Madden Sports Quiz, Sports Flashback with Jack Buck. Then we started with Radio Personalities Offside with Dan Dierdorf and Talking Round Ball with Dick Vitale. And I honestly mean this. Todd Wilkin is as talented as anybody I've ever worked with. A big round of applause for Todd. Now, as bad as it is to work with me, you should have to live with me. My wife, Beth, we actually met at the LCMS convention in 1995. We were doing Issues Etc. from the convention live, and Beth was doing freelance video. And Joan Harwell and Mary Mantilla, Jenny Williams fixed us all up, and the rest is history. It's the grace of God I got a wife like Beth. It really is. And we actually were married, or our wedding reception was in this hall, 8 years coming up on November the 16th, and it's been the best 8 years of my life. A big round of applause for my wife, Beth Schwartz. Now, the biggest strength of Issues Etc. obviously is its Christ-centered, cross-focused confession, no doubt about it. But Todd said I could die and this thing would go on. This thing would not go on. That simply isn't true. The great thing about Issues Etc. is it's guest-driven and it's truly a team affair. It's a team affair with you, the listeners, you, the supporters, and with our guests. And tonight we'd like to acknowledge some of our regular guests here on Issues Etc. From Concordia Seminary, Dr. David Adams. Dr. Lewis Brighton, Concordia Seminary. Dr. Ronald Feuerhahn. Now, Todd said Larry might have the record for the most appearances. He's wrong. Pastor Henry Garriocke of the Concordia Seminary Chorus has the record for most appearances. One of my all-time favorite guests, Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. Dr. Reed Lessing of Concordia Seminary. Dr. Tom Manteuffel from Concordia Seminary. Dr. Norman Nagel of Concordia Seminary. Dr. Rass mentioned that passage like early in his presentation about you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'll never forget somebody called Dr. Nagel and said, You must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus Christ is Lord. And Dr. Nagel says, Jesus Christ has died for my sins. And she goes, yeah, but you must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he said, Jesus Christ has died for my sins. Definitely Dr. Nagel, one of the most popular guests we have on Issues, etc. Dr. Martin Nolan of Concordia Historical Institute. Marty's going to regret ever moving to St. Louis because I'll pick up the phone at the last minute. Marty, there's something in church history. Can you come down the street? And he always helps us out. Thank you so much. Pastor Daniel Preuss of Luther Academy. Dr. Victor Raj of Concordia Seminary. Uwe Simonetto, who's just joined the faculty here at Concordia Seminary. Uwe, there's more wine in the back for you. Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary. A man who's also been a guest and has also filled in for Todd before, Pastor Charlie Hendrickson. Two other members of the faculty at Concordia Seminary. First, Dr. Paul Schreiber is here tonight. In the back. Thanks for coming. And Professor Tom Ager at Concordia Seminary. A couple more people to acknowledge. A couple of members from the Board for Communication Services, David Berger. And Donna Radicke, thanks for your support. The treasurer of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is here, Tom Kukta. And last but not least, the Meyer brothers, Bob and Ken Meyer, have been on a volunteer basis doing the Issues Etc. website for 8 years. We don't pay them. Ken Meyer. Ken has just moved from the Bay Area and has got a great Herman Bluff House in Herman, Missouri. If you need a getaway, contact Ken. It's Herman. Herman Bluff. Is it HermanGuesthouse.com or Herman Bluff House? You're welcome. You're welcome. HermanBluff.com. It's a great getaway in Herman, Missouri if you ever want to get away. Uwe, you might like that. Wine country. I've been with Issues Etc. a couple years before we syndicated the Sunday Night National Show on Reformation Sunday in 95. I've been with it since the fall of 93. And I can't tell you how many times I never thought we'd see a 10-year anniversary. But God is faithful to his word. And over the years, stanza of a hymn most of us will sing tomorrow, For All the Saints, has gone. I've sung this countless times when things look bleak and things look down. When the fight is fierce, the warfare strong, steals on the ears the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong. Alleluia. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for coming here tonight. Thank you very much.
Folks, the gospel is free, but producing this show isn't. Please consider making a tax-deductible donation to Issues Etc. today.
I want to tell you about the goals of Issues Etc. and then let you go for the evening. And in the course of telling you about the goals, there are people here tonight who are members of our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. And we have certificates for each one of them. I think they still need my signature, though. And Jeff's signature. So we will see to it that everyone who is a member of our Issues Etc. Reformation Club and those who we will recognize for their special support of Issues Etc. receive their certificate tonight. But I want to talk about the goals of Issues Etc. and then we can say goodnight. We started with two phone lines that ran through the regular switchboard of the radio station and five affiliates. And at a 10-year mark, we now have seven phone lines that are dedicated for the show that on Sunday nights are all lit up. It's very gratifying to the host to look down and see the gentle glow of seven phone lines always, always lit up on Sunday night, because it knows, I know that there are people listening. And almost 100 affiliates nationwide. We have listeners now on XM satellite radio. That is this new technology that gives you a nationwide signal commercial-free from coast to coast without ever changing your channel. Our short-term goal is to have a firm place in the top five Lutheran markets in the United States. Those are Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Minneapolis, and Milwaukee. Almost all the Lutherans that there are, probably about 60% of them, live in those markets. And that's why we are aiming for those top five Lutheran markets. We would like to move back 1 hour on Sunday night from 10 o'clock Central Time to 9 o'clock Central Time in all of those markets. We are on our way to securing a place in those top five Lutheran markets. Detroit, we're already on there very solidly, St. Louis and Milwaukee. Chicago is going to become a reality quite soon due to the generosity of one of our listeners. And that leaves Minneapolis, and that's kind of our goal for this next year, is to secure support up in Minneapolis so that we can bring Issues Etc. to the Lutherans and to the listeners there as well. We are at a threshold technologically that I cannot even believe. When I started at Issues Etc. and I recorded something, I recorded it on tape. I have not seen tape in years. We say it's taped, it isn't taped. Now almost everything is done from a hard disk of a computer, running through very sophisticated software, and it is truly amazing. It is changing. The internet has given us a whole new listenership that is not only much broader, but also worldwide. Matt, you were telling me about someone in Singapore who is saying, "Do you know Todd Wilkin? Issues, etc. Issues, etc." That's what they could say to Matt when he was in Singapore recently. And we are on the cusp, technologically, of being able to expand a listenership, bringing a Christ-centered and cross-focused message literally to the world. And it's right at our fingertips. It's unbelievable. Who knows what another 10 years will mean for Issues, etc., in terms of the technology. And I guess the most gratifying thing about this is that Larry talked about the fickle winds of talk radio. Talk radio, I think, is the ideal medium for communicating Lutheran theology. Absolutely. It is. We are permitted to go in-depth. We don't have to speak in sound bites or put our theology on a bumper sticker. I can actually ask a question and the guest can take some time to explain it, although half the time I have to tell them you have a minute and a half to explain the doctrine of predestination. And the amazing thing is our guests do it. That's the amazing thing. And it is timely. We are able to talk about things that happen now, and we can deal with them in real time. It doesn't take a lot to get an hour of radio on the air as long as everybody's doing their job, and you can change subjects at the last minute and still have a great radio program. We have the best stable of guests of any radio show ever. I'm convinced of this. There is a font of wisdom, knowledge, learning, and just sound theology in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we try to tap into that to the best of our ability. And to that same font that's outside the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as well. Our next goal beyond that, once we've accomplished this one, our medium-term goal is to syndicate the weekday show program 1 hour in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So that 1 hour, what St. Louis listeners are hearing during drive time, Fort Wayne listeners can also be hearing. And Fort Wayne is the natural place to go because that's where our other seminary is. And these goals, at first, when Jeff used to talk about these things, I would just go home and say to my wife, he's just a dreamer. None of these things are ever going to happen. But so many of the things that he was talking about 5 years ago have actually happened. And it is all God's gracious giving. Every last bit of it. We could not accomplish this. We are just two irresponsible, late-blooming baby boomers. The The strengths are Christ-centered, cross-focused message. That is it. That's the strength. Brought to us by a stable of guests that are just mind-boggling. Issues Etc. functions as, I think, one of the strongest worldwide evangelism tools that we have. And we hear this all the time. And we are hoping and praying and trusting that 10 years from now, God willing, we can assemble again just like this and celebrate 20 years and celebrate goals accomplished by God's grace and also celebrate what it is that God can do when you just turn on a microphone and say what God's word says. I love this quote. I used it this morning when I was speaking to a group here on campus of Luther's Reflections on the Reformation. And this is how I will conclude tonight. Luther was reflecting on the Reformation and what made it happen. And Luther said, "The Word did everything. I preached, I wrote, I taught, I published. And then I went and drank beer. And while I drank beer in Wittenberg with Almsdorf and Melanchthon, the Word turned the papacy upside down and began and continued a reformation in the church." And he ends this little quote by saying, "I did nothing, the Word did everything." I can attest to the fact that that is true. Every pastor in his pulpit can attest to the fact that that is true. Every professor in his classroom can attest to the fact that is true. Well, how have you trained so many good pastors, Dr. Brighton? He will tell you, "I did nothing. The Word did everything." Well, how could you preach so many great sermons, Pastor so-and-so? And your pastor, if he's worth his salt, will say, "I do nothing. The Word does everything." And I think with some fair amount of confidence, I can say after in maybe 10 years from now, we can gather again. And we can say, in thanks to Jesus Christ, who is the Word incarnate, whose authority and power and grace and mercy and forgiveness is in that Word for every sinner, whose death and resurrection, this Christ-centered, cross-focused message, his death and resurrection is in that Word for us sinners, I think we will be able to say, "We did nothing. The Word did everything."
If you appreciate this Issues Etc. classic, please consider making a tax-deductible donation today. You can make a financial contribution by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
To conclude tonight, I'd like to ask Pastor Matt Harrison to come up. Pastor Matt Harrison has been a longtime guest on the program. He's a delightful guy. The only Lutheran I know of who looks like Teddy Roosevelt. And he is Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. And he is going to close our evening with prayer.
Thank you, Todd. Yeah, I was in Singapore 5-6 months ago, and I come out of church, and this man comes right up to me. I was assuming he had seen one of my glossy photographs in a synodical publication or something. But that was not the case. He comes up to me, and he begins this wonderful articulation of what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. And dumbfounded after a bit, I asked him, where are you getting this? You ever hear of Issues Etc.? You know Todd Wilkin? And that has actually happened more than once. And I think Issues Etc. for me, these 10 years, for all the moaning and groaning we do, I think it's time for us to realize that this is absolutely the best moment in history to be a confessional Lutheran. Now.
Amen.
Would you rise for prayer? We shall pray with Martin Luther. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. curb those who feign by craft and sword would wrest the kingdom from thy Son and set at naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, thy power make known, for thou art Lord of lords alone. Defend thy Christendom that we may ever sing praise to thee. O Comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. Amen.
Amen.